Welcome to everybody, the department, our colleagues, Chairman and delegates. We are going to deal with the two bills today. The Constitution 16 Amendment Bill and the Clause Bound in Municipalities Laws to Repeal and Related Matters Amendment Bill. As I explained in the previous meeting that we are going to brief our provinces. I'm happy that members managed to brief their provinces. As we're sitting here, we are having all the mandates except one. I suspect we'll be getting it before the end of the day today. But if not, then this permanent delegate from this particular province will have to explain, have to account to the co-chair. We explained that of the nine provinces, we can do whatever we want, but those who will be championing, who will be giving us the marching orders, is Gauteng and Northwest. But that does not say other provinces are not supposed to do what they are supposed to do. And on taking with the office, I am happy to report that the provinces have done what is expected of them. We are going to steer this seat together as agreed in the previous meeting, because these are twin bills. Myself and my co-chair, Honorable Mkhaleti, will be doing this thing together. Now, I want to thank the department because I learned they gave a hand, they assisted in briefing some provinces, of which from this table, myself and Honorable Mkhaleti were very grateful. And I appreciate the support you're giving to members. I learned the provinces have expressed themselves, and one province is even proposing some amendments to the Constitution 16 Amendment Bill. We'll close the brief when we arrive at it. What we're going to do, as it is expected of us as this committee, whatever happened in the National Assembly will come to naught if this House decides to do whatever they want to do. For people who don't understand, some people are saying Parliament has passed a bill to reincorporate Kutsong into Gauteng. That is wrong. That is wrong. I actually have a workshop where I want to teach people to say the National Assembly has passed that bill. It's up to us, the senior house, the National Council of Provinces, if we accept or pass this bill. It's only then people can say Parliament has passed the bill to reincorporate Kutsong into Gauteng. Finish and clear. That's it. But see, some media and some people somewhere just know Parliament has already passed. No. For example, if the NCOP can say, no, we don't accept this bill, want this place to remain whatever. Now, what I want to say, I want to report that to say, no, we add. It was not Parliament, it was only the National Assembly. Being as it may, as this good chapter says, yeah, we accept some of those things. We won't get tired, we'll teach people as we go along. Yeah, before we proceed, let me just check with my co-chair if there's something that he wants to address the committee on before we start looking into these mandates. Fair problem. Not from Khalid.
Thank you very much, co-chair. Good morning, honorable members, legal advisors, and other visitors. co-chairperson, no, there's not much I want to say, except to just highlight that we need to focus a bit more on this other thing, the cross-boundary one, that the force within local government. There were questions as to whether provinces should pronounce themselves on that piece of the deal, on that part of the package, since that other bill is Section 75. As we proceed with the meeting, I think we will have to address that. Co-chairperson.
Thank you very much, Aaron Mukhalid. Yeah, welcome, Myron. I like Alu. Yeah, colleagues, maybe before we go to the mandate, the province that deals with the Constitution 16th Amendment Bill. Is there any issue of national importance that the member council raised before we embark on this process? 3, 2, 1, no, gone. Here we are, colleagues. As a norm, we'll start with the Eastern Cape. Before I forget, I got an apology from Honorable Nyanda. She's unfortunately going to be part of this meeting due to some other commitments in the province. I want us to, maybe before that, the department, Lapis and Myron, do you want to address us on anything before we talk to this Monday?
Thanks, Jefferson. I will, with your permission, reserve my constitutional right to speak after the members have made this matter. Jefferson, that is just, at the moment, I don't have anything. I'm still going to the last one, but if necessary, I'll raise issues afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ed. Can I request that we now look at the mandate from the Eastern Cape. I don't see Honorable Leroux, I don't see Magnosi. All I can do is to request Honorable Museki to help us and talk to the mandate of the Eastern Cape with due respect to Monapush. If you can just be of service to the committee and for now, speak to this mandate, yeah, it's in case, Marina.
Look, because I'm going to because that is in case taste the remote of the service for the service that Marcos is a chairperson, without really going through the other details, which is 1, 2, we'll go straight to number 3 of that negotiation mandate. It reads, Vice Chairperson, the committee supports the purpose and can't see properly there. That's a position, Chairperson. The committee supports the bill and does not propose any amendments to the bill. Permanent delegate to represent the province of the Eastern Cape at the meeting considering the negotiating mandate. That's a position of the Eastern Cape, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Museki, for taking us through. That blotted word there is spirit. I want to open for discussion about the Dayton Cape Monday. Can I go to the Free State? When one looks at the Free State Monday, people can see that the people are tired, you know. That they do something else, nothing. Look at the Monday, that's the Free State one. People are tired of this thing, they want to. Yes. Honorable Julio Gilstrike, my colleague, can you talk to the Free State mandate? I don't see Dr. Van Herden here, and I don't see Honorable Darrell.
Thank you, Chatterton. The mandate from the Free State, they said they deliberated on the 19th of February 2009, and then they voted in favor of the bill, Constitution 16 Amendment. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ntuli, for taking us through the Free State Mandate. Can I immediately recognize the Honorable Mzuzi to address us on the mandate from Kaltin? Bofan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the other pages are just for formalities. Probably I may draw your attention only on item 6, the analysis of the legal framework, which is also just for consideration and overview and analysis of a joint public hearing. It suffices to say that this is the capturing of the written and submission during the committee's public hearing on the 25th February 2009 in Carltonville on the Constitutional 16th Amendment Bill. The following are some of the areas raised as validation in favor of the reincorporation of the Mirapong City local municipalities into province of Gauteng. Views in support of the reincorporation into Gauteng provinces, the social development and cluster that includes education, health, arts and culture, and local government. Not to read the whole thing, these were the shortcomings that they raised, issues that they would actually support the bill, that it should actually go to Gauteng because of the shortcomings of the other things that actually from the other province. So it also supports, as I said, I would probably skip some of things not so much of importance. Let's go now to item S, point 2, and submission from political parties. The political parties which were present there was the African National Congress, the Pan-African Congress, and also United Democratic Movement. The United Democratic Movement actually argued for the reincorporation of the whole of Mirapong City local municipalities into Gauteng. So one probably would want to know why this has been said. There are other submissions which were made. The DA of Foxville argued for the reincorporation of the Mirapong City local municipalities with they support, but with an exception of Foxville, Kokosi, and Green Park. The reincorporation of the aforesaid areas was said to be unconstitutional and unlawful, as there had not been proper consultation in the above said areas. That is now Foxville, Kokos. I don't know why Foxville and Kokos is one and the same thing. The other one is the township, the other one probably is the town, as they used to say, and then the Green Park. Those were the areas that they felt that there was no consultation. views against the incorporation. There were a few submissions arguing against the reincorporation of the Fortville Caucus and Green Park. The concern raised were about the date of, so the state of education and the Gauteng. I don't know who wrote this thing. This is so not reader friendly. And the province, among others, a concern was raised in the availability of learning materials in Gauteng province. So this was a sort of a comparison. The others argued that they were better off with the material, with the reading materials or the school materials when they were in the West, in the Northwest. And others argued that it's far from being the truth, because it was only few schools that were actually getting those support. Now, those are the arguments that were raised there. It's suffice to say that now we go down to the Western, to the committee position. The committee position supported the bill in full. However, the bill requires adjustments to provincial budgets of the provinces concerned in order to address the shifting functions performed from the province to another. The National Department of Local Government is intending to establish a transitional committee whose main purpose would be to discuss and inform the community about its processes and transferring Morafong City local municipality to the Gauteng province, and to address the transitional arrangements and the financial implications thereof, and noted. Negotiating mandate adopted by the committee, the local committee, the local government portfolio committee supports the principle and details of the Constitutional 16 Amendment Bill, B1, 2009, Section 74, thank you, signed by the chairperson, R.S. Lidwaba.
Thank you very much, Baba Mzizi, for taking us through the mandate from Gauteng province. We'll come back to debate on issues raised by each province. Can we proceed and recognize KwaZulu-Natal to address us on their mandate? Honorable Mthuli.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Provincial Standing Committee on National Council of Provinces met on Friday, the 27th of February 2009, and agreed to mandate the KwaZulu-Natal delegation to the National Council of Provinces to support the Constitution 16 Amendment Bill, B1 2009. So I submit.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nkuli, for taking us through. We'll then go to to Limpopo. The Limpopo negotiating mandate, as you can see, with a nice emblem, and it's all reader friendly and being itemized so nicely. I'll immediately take you through to paragraph 3 of this mandate. Paragraph 3 is only outlines the process that has been embarked upon by that particular province. Now, of note, the last in the same paragraph, from the last but one sentence, I read,
in the same paragraph 3. Having considered the bill, the committee agreed with the principle and provisions of the bill, but request that the following input should be noted. I deliberately wanted to draw attention to this paragraph because of this reason. 3.1. Public involvement in government decision-making processes should be intensified than it is currently happening. Noting that moves in the Limpopo province and Matatia in KwaZulu-Natal are currently demanding a similar government decision to be reincorporated into their former province using violence and damage to property, other areas may follow suit. The implication of this precedent will be that the constitution of the Republic will always be amended. 3.3. There must be public education to teach people that South Africa is an interstate, and moving from one province to another does not make any difference. 3.4. The process of reconfiguration of the state should be fast-tracked to avoid a similar situation elsewhere in future. On the second page, under 2, the committee confers a mandate to the NCOP delegate. That is just true. That is me. To negotiate in favor of the bill for enactment, taking note of the above inputs. I submit. Again, of the concerns raised by my province, we'll discuss about them during a discussion. Can I now recognize the Northern Mpumalanga?
Thank you very much, Koshi. Chairperson, I think we'll all confine ourselves to the first page of the submission by Mpumalanga with the heading Negotiating Mandate. All the other paperwork is just the background of what the province has done in coming to the decision of the negotiating mandate. The committee met on the 25th of February, where they received a briefing. Prior to that, they had already released a press or media notice on the Sowetan newspaper on the 11th of February, wherein they invited members of the public or any other interested or affected parties to make input on the bill with a deadline of the 18th of February. No representations from the public were received by the closing date of the 18th of February. And then in the absence of the written input or submissions, the committee discussed the bill thoroughly and complied the report. In principle, the committee supported the bill. However, the committee raised concern and request as attached in the report. The committee report on the bill is attached here to for information purposes. But the delegation representing the province of Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces is conferred with the authority and mandate to negotiate in favor of the bill. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, my co-chair. Can I now recognize the Northern Cape
I'll humbly request the Honorable Meg to ask a favor, because I don't see Honorable Pandar Mel right here. But I hope that the mandate is here anyway. Honorable Novello Meg, can you really be of service to this committee and talk to the Northern Cape negotiating mandate? Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I say the Speaker of the Northern Cape Provincial Legislature referred to Constitution 16 Amendment Bill to the Standing Committee of Non-Constitutional Affairs, Petitions and Public Participation on the 3rd of February. The Standing Committee received a briefing on the bill by the Northern Cape Senior Manager Legal Services and the NCOP on the 26th of February. There was a request for public comment, was published on the 10th of February in the Diamond Fields advertisement for inputs on the bill, and no inputs were received. There was committee inputs on the bill, Chair, which the comment says the bill must also address the inclusion of John Kempdorp into the Pokwani municipality in the Northern Cape, since there is no outcome on various requests to several stakeholders in this regard. The town is divided between the Northwest and the Northern Cape provinces. They also say we can look at correspondence that is attached. They say the position of the committee was, as they say, after due deliberation, the Standing Committee on Constitutional Affairs, Petitions and Public Participation supports the bill. The committee mandates the permanent delegate to participate in deliberations at the negotiating stage and to support the bill, taking note of the comments and the recommendations raised by the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Meg, for taking us through this mandate. Can I humbly request that Northwest to talk to us, Honorable Mr. Hickey?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think the first thing that one must do is to thank both DPRG, Marion, and Lapis for responding to our request to brief us up when we were briefing the Provincial Portfolio Committee. Thank you so much for that. That's a positive response. Secondly, Chairperson, just to raise one thing before one goes to the resolution, that in point three, the committee deemed it fit to ensure that the public has been here in those cross-border areas. And the public hearing was held jointly with housing on the 23rd. We had expected the committee to give us a report on that. Unfortunately, there did not give us a detailed report. I can confirm to this committee chairperson that did happen indeed. And in my discussion of the portfolio committee chairperson, he confirmed that also this morning. Now, moving to the resolution, Chairperson, the Local Government Portfolio Committee supports the principle and the details of the Constitution 16 Amendment Bill and cross-boundary municipality laws repeal and related matters as amendment bill. The bill is signed, Chairperson, by the Deputy Speaker, and then the mandate is signed by the Deputy Speaker of the Provincial Legislature. That's the position of the Northwest Chapter.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mr. Hickey. I hope members have noted the request by Northern Cape. We'll come back to that after the discussion.
it might have been shoved in one of my papers here because it was a very big fight. I don't see what's in here. So the person who can address the committee about that mandate, because it's somewhere here, maybe we did not give it to the member. I'm sure they will distribute to us now. And the person who can do that efficient, with speed, you know, is Honorable Mac. Honorable Mac, where is the mandate for that?
Thank you, Chair. It won't be with speed, it will be concise and precise. But firstly, we also, as the Western Cape, we have to thank Marion and Lapi, Chair. Because after they briefed us here, we immediately went over to the Western Cape and we gave them a very good briefing. But the Western Cape decided to advertise in newspapers locally. Together with the submission. The biggest question was public participation so that we can see that this is done constitutionally. The submission or the negotiating mandate isn't here in writing. It's here in person, myself. Because of some challenges with the newspapers advertising a bit late, the deadline was yesterday for written submission. And it should have come in, nothing came in around about 4 or 5 o'clock. So when I spoke to them this morning, I was assured no written submissions came in. It will be passed and they will be sending their mandate as soon as they can convene the committee. And the final mandate will come. It will be three people for the final mandate, Chairperson. So that is all. The only explanation I can give. But we don't foresee any problems. Thank you.
So for record purposes, we don't have a mandate for SMK. We got only 8 mandates. We don't have a mandate for SMK. What I can check with my colleagues, because when we'll be dealing with the final mandate, we don't take any new issue. We only consider issues that were raised during the negotiating stage. Now, the question to you members is, if for some reason the Western Cape will be raising some issues, because as our colleague rightly explained, that just because of some technical issues, if it happens that they bring their mandate after this meeting with some proposal or some concerns that they had to be addressed, what are we going to do? Are we going to entertain them or what? Because I want us to do this thing as efficiently as we can. We don't want any loophole now because you're aware that this is a very sensitive bill we're dealing with. And our parties have deployed us to be in this house for this particular reason, that they know that they have deployed mature people who are going to look in all the pros and cons, not to temper or mess up with the constitutional requirements. What are we going to do? But if the mandate will reach us before we again, that would be good. But if it comes after that, there's a question I want to check from you. Honorable Ntuli.
Thank you, Chair. If we receive them after we have adjourned, they will be noted for future consideration. Thank you.
Can you unpack it? Are we going to entertain it or for future, you mean maybe next year after election? If there will be any other new amendments.
Yeah.
But not for this purpose.
There will be conflict at the
end. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the golden rule will apply here. No mandate, you cannot speculate. And the toe line will be at the end. And they will have to toe the toe line. and unless if there would be suggestion of other things that are considered in this, they will have to toe line along those lines. But they cannot bring any new matters either than those which will be raised today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. Yeah, let's hope we'll receive that money before we adjourn today. Because if not, really, we'll miss out on what things. We'll miss out on it. And I know they're always good, Honorable Mac. That's why I agree with you. There might be some technical issues there. Yeah, colleagues, there we are. I want us now to... My record says that in the Eastern Cape there is nothing fussy about this bill. Free State, same thing, there is nothing to talk about there. Gauteng, yes, are raising some concerns. Now, I want to start from Gauteng. Let's debate these issues and see. How are we addressing the concerns raised by Gauteng? I'm putting the matter before you. It is on page 4 of their mandate, under 6.2 going down. Because there are some people who raise some concerns, but the formal mandate is that they mandate Honorable Mzezi to negotiate for the reincorporation of the said area back to housing. That's the formal mandate. But let's see if we can address some of the concerns raised here. What are we saying about it? Or we know them and pass over. Honorable, can you guide us?
Chairperson, I think the way we should probably consider those concerns raised, it is concern that actually raised on a basis of financial support, which I think that part has been taken care of. Also, at the same time, the concern raised by the Fochville, Kokosi, and Green Park, I may not probably speak on behalf of Gauteng how we probably can address that, but those issues were raised, that they were not consulted. They raised that issue in the past, but one can actually submit to say that they had an opportunity then on the 25th to make their submission, though it could not be dealt in depth. I don't see it in the report of the committee that how far they went with it, whether they considered it to have fallen wayside as people responded with their statements that say Kokosi, Fochville, Green Park are the part of Mirafong City, and therefore they cannot be separated, and said that they don't belong to Mirafong City. The request here is that the Mirafong City must be incorporated into Gauteng. I think the concern is addressed in that issue. Hence, I don't want to put my neck on the block. Those are the main reason that they raise. Others are the comparison reasons that we are better off taken care of when we are in this province. Others, it will be against us. But I don't think that that's an issue. We will cross the bridge when we get there. But the main issue is that the consensus raised, these are the things that can be addressed. I don't think we need to really go in and try to unpack it. These are the things that are there and that are in the due process. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Valmzizi. I think you have assisted us. Some of us are not conversant with the geography in that area of those particular areas. But as the writer said, we'll know those in the future as well as possible. We'll consider them. Okoko, Sifonville, and Green Park. Now, this three areas, before 2005, where were they located? So were they in Northwest or in something? These three areas.
Then I don't want to speculate. I am not aware of, but all I know that Kokosi and Bokfield, they were part of what of Carltonville. That was their district, because they cannot be falling under Potchefstroom, which is a distance away from them. Now I'm speaking under correction. Those who know better, but that's my assumption, that if I know the area, that was the area which was actually going to Carltonville. Hence, the council, the local council was Carltonville, which was their headquarters. I don't know of any other thing. Thank you.
Before I recognize the Honorable Ntuli, let me recognize the Honorable Museki, who can maybe arrest you. Dr. Museki.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you will recall that after when we were briefed by the DPRG, the north was the highest an issue of the three areas. And we were saying these three areas have been part of Northwest all the time. Now, with the reincorporation of Morocco, they are treated as if they were part of Carltonville and Merafo. What is the township? Kudong, eh?
Yeah.
Kudong. And Chairperson, I think. When the department responded, they said, look, when this discussion took place at the cabinet level, the argument was you would want to develop or reincorporate the whole city, Marathon City, into Hampton. And the main reason for that is that when you deal with issues of development, other areas should not be excluded from the developmental program. And it was on the basis of that, to a certain extent, the Chairperson, I must say that Northwest as a province accepted that, given that fundamental reason, we should accept that the whole city should be incorporated into a county. But over and above that, Chairperson, just to remind Honorable people, we also raised an argument to say, look, Northwest, I mean, South Africa is a unitary state. When people are located in the Mpopo or a Bush or a Mpumalanga, they should not think that they are in another state that is somewhere in America. The understanding should be we are all South Africans, and when you are told that you are in this part of the country or that, it should not be a very fundamental problem to accept that. So I think, Chairperson, just to reiterate the point, the three areas were part of the Northwest initially, but the Northwest has accepted that in a very good spiritual way. In the interest of development, all the whole area must go to home. Thank you very much.
Thanks for that clarification, Ramosek. Sam.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think this concern will be addressed by that special committee or task team which will be looking on all the nitty-gritties of the transfers and all that when it concerns with the money and the work, and to look after whether services are being provided. I believe we said there will be a special committee. But it is better if this is read with this cross-boundary municipality philosophy and related matters amended bill. I think most of the concerns will be covered if you look at that one. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Under on the second page, page 5, under bullet number 1, under 8, but we'll come to that later. Let me recognize my colleague here, my co-chair, who also
Thanks so much, Christian. No, it's not that I'm assisting, but I'll also be requesting from our two permanent delegates in the affected provinces, whether between their very congested programs, did they find their way into the public hearing? Just for our information. Thank you.
Correct. No, Chairperson, from the Northwest, I was not part of the public hearing. We relied more on the portfolio committee and get a report from them. Thank you.
Chairperson, I was part of the public hearing. Yes, indeed, there were some sort of attention when we arrived. There was that jubilation, singing, and shouting slogans, how dang, I don't think there would be anyone really to have had guts to stand up after that jubilation to say, away with that. So, but we managed to calm the situation. There were probably unruly elements when the chairperson of Northwest, because there was two co-chairs, wanted to chill to some sort of booing, we come to us and we called that to us and said, look, section 74, it says if such a thing happens, the two provinces that are affected, they would veto. And therefore, we have to listen to Northwest, we have to listen to us and to Gauteng, and then take note of that. And I think with that, people were sort of cooperating. Though the other things, I don't want to get into that, but the spirit after then, you could see that the problem with, there were no other interjection or some sort of a resentment, except the DA, that raised the Western concern, and also the concern raised by the local government, it did not come very strongly. It was just a support. Now, one wonders why then there was that, because they have raised, you know, the fundamental issues in their submission, but there was nothing. As I said, I don't want to make a statement and say it's because of the jubilation and celebration that was there. I don't think that really, but the spirit is that people say, how did? And that's what they were the bottom.
Thank you very much,
thanks, Chair. Taking what this has said about the DA, there was something strange. Even in Mazul Natal, I was there. The DA said they are no longer supportive. And they said they reserve the right to argue when we debate that they are no longer supporting, but they did not give the proper reason of not supporting. But anyway, they were the minority when the committee voted, but they just said they were the only party which did not support the Constitution 2016 Amendment.
Yeah, anyway, it's their right to do that. Looking at the situation which we are now. Yeah. As I said, I've drawn attention to the provision of bullet number 2 under paragraph 8 on page 5, same housing mandate. The committee still raised the issue about the budget. whether the budget will simultaneously be shifted to cater for all the needs of that particular area. Because as you are aware, in terms of the financial arrangement in our country, it's a 3-year one. What do you call it, the budget? Because it was shared at senior budget thing. MPF. It's a 3-year budgeting system. Now, there is a task team established by the budget department here. Because now what we're talking this thing, I want it to be on record. The question to both the departments is whether people of this particular area are going to be affected by this change. Happy as they will be if finally the NCOP passes this to bill. Are they financially going to be negatively affected or positively affected? As of speaking now, are there arrangements to make sure that the service delivery won't be hampered because of the change? I know during the initial briefing stage, when we were in the old assembly, those questions were raised, but that was not our forum. Our forum is here where we need some clarity as to exactly what's going to happen. We don't want a maybe, if, when, but want to get an assurance say yes, there are some processes in place. People will be affected, or will be negatively affected. Because in whatever we're doing, we don't want to embarrass ourselves to say we're positive, but people are still in it. They just feel of saying they are stepchild of the same government. Now, can the two departments address the committee about this concern raised by housing? This, but it's the two bullets under eight. Myron and everybody, I can see the departments. After that, if I'm not able with your responses, I'll go to the office of the state law advisor. But the two beautiful ladies there, they'll come to my rescue, as always, and I know they are ready. They're itching to address the committee. They can't wait. Myron, we're all here.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to trace some of the responses to this very much a very similar question that was raised in the portfolio committee. The department made an input on this question, and later on in the public hearings, the National Treasury also made an input on this question. The department's input, the initial input was that National Treasury had made a submission to us saying that for this financial year, there will be no changes in the budgets. The budgets will go through as if the areas belong to Northwest and Northwest. And Northwest will continue to receive funding for those areas. Even though when this bill is enacted, physically, Marahong, Merahong City local municipality will be in Gauteng, where that is when the bill is enacted. And the reason the National Treasury poses is that there are figures to be run in the formulas and changes to the graph, which they cannot quite do at this late stage when the Division of Revenue Bill has already been introduced, what is normally introduced together with the Minister's budget speech into Parliament for consideration. In other words, the Division of Revenue Bill is already accompanied with schedules and allocations of grants, and they cannot at this late stage, that was about 2 weeks ago, change those details. And that they would change those details in the 2009 and 2010 budget. And that they will include in the Division of Revenue a set of clauses on cross-boundary issues, which will, according to National Treasury, ensure that the provinces continue to spend their money in those areas for which they have received the allocation. In other words, let's say, for example, there was health allocations to the Northwest Province, allocations in health, to continue to support the clinic staff and clinic services, which are in Merafong City Local Municipality. Those clauses will ensure that Northwest continues to spend its money in that area. And it's only in the 2009 and 2010 budget where they will change completely the allocations after running the statistics through the formulas and dividing up the national grants. That was the position that we received from National Treasury. The transitional committee that is being set up is set up also in terms of the section dealing with transitional measures in the 2005 cross-boundary and related matters bill. And the purpose of setting up transitional committees is to manage, amongst others, also the financial matters between the two provinces through a set of service level agreements and through a set of protocols. Now, these protocols and service level agreements were used in the previous 2005 disestablishment of cross boundaries amongst the affected provinces to manage the transfer of staff and manage services and the transfer of functions. I do know that the political advisor to the minister is continuing to engage National Treasury to see whether National Treasury can create any special dispensation so that when the changeover takes place, these areas won't unduly suffer from the non-alignment of the Division of Revenue Bill's allocation to these provinces. However, I think from our side, we will try very much to encourage that either the premiers get together and or the MECs for local government get together and ensure that the allocations that are to be spent in this area continues to be spent in this area. Thank you, Chen.
I'll look for any other input from officials from both departments. I'm asking this question because it is normal if someone says, Mokoena, I don't trust you, I don't want to stay in your house, and now I'm going to stay with a remote sick. For me to continue feeling this person that doesn't want me, no, naturally, I mean, it doesn't. I would deliberately drag my feet. You know? If I had to give you milk in the morning, I would give you diluted milk. You know? Now, that's what I'm going to get the committee to say. The quality of service will continue in that year. That's all I want to hear. Any other input? Yes, ma'am.
I just want to draw the committee's attention to Section 5 of the 2005 Act, the Cross-Boundary Act, which provides for the transfer of assets and liabilities between the two provinces. It also deals in detail with the fraud and implementation protocol between the two provinces. And then in Subsection C, it provides that if an agreement in implementation of the protocol cannot be reached, the matter must be referred to the NCOP. And the NCOP then has an oversight role to ensure the implementation of those protocols.
There you have, thank you. Ramuthik.
Chairperson, Northwest has a lot of experience about this. cross border things, eh? And I think Chairperson, we must take this more seriously. Northwest has a lot of experience. Hopefully, was incorporated with my hand from Northwest. Worked with Northern Cape to ensure smooth transition. Mabupane and other areas. Around here, incorporated into housing. Northwest was housing very smooth to ensure that service delivery and everything else is done. Again, Northwest was, I mean, Hokwa, and Brista was incorporated into Northwest. Northwest, again, from administrative and political point of view, worked very well for those problems to ensure smooth transition. And I think Jefferson feels like this when we say, you know, South Africa is a unitary state, must be clearly understood from that side. And when we say Northwest is a problem, understand that fundamental principle, it wants to ensure that people are properly. Service, people are given their democratic rights. I think that must be understood what we mean. And I'm convinced even now, with regard to Merafo, there's no way that Northwest, unless we take ourselves as something that's not part of South Africa, there's no way that Northwest can behave differently from the behavior that we display in the past. And I request that it be taken back to it.
Northwest has got experience in distributing some of their areas to other provinces. And they only neglect those people after having beat them up. And that's the consolation prize for us, you know, the one shape.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, your concern is everybody's concern. I think this matter should not be left in isolation and I hope that something new will just come after this. I don't know how probably the matter will be conceived in the Northwest. If I may go back in the very same question that I raised, when they said that up until from this time to 2011, if I'm not mistaken, that they will work together, Gauteng and Northwest. I'm not quite sure that period. And my concern was that if people say we have been shabbily treated by a province, how is it going to be possible when they are no longer there that there would be that share that will come to them when they could not do it, when they had the full responsibility? That was the concern I raised, and I also teased that question with the province that please explore this thoroughly in the public hearing or in your deliberation so that this thing is adequately addressed. I know of this committee that is going to work in this transitional period, whether they will have enough teeth to bite, because we can only rely on them. But if they don't have teeth to bite, then we'll have that period of sort of helping these people to actually come back in the normal life with these two provinces. That question, sir, hasn't been answered. But we accept that people say, if you were there, they would say, anyone stands up and say, goodbye, Northwest, goodbye, Gauteng, Bambi. Now, those were the messages sent actually to Northwest. Even if Northwest probably would have been in good spirit and say, thank you, the periodical sun, you're now going back to your parents. Fine.
I will still give you everything. I'll give you transport. I'll give you that. I don't know. That's the question that we need to lay the emphasis. But I'm not saying that the incorporation should now be forestalled for that. That is now the administrative processes that we must be made sure that it will take place. Because we cannot come back again and say, oh, because this has not been met, now we are now reversing the Western process. That's something that I think as politicians and as mature people who could work will be playing on those grounds. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we have done justice to the mandate from housing. One issue from my co-chair, Mukaliti.
Thank you very much, Coach. We note the sentiments and consensus raised. Chair, the issue of this transitional committee is well known. As we are talking here of protocols and other arrangements, it is incumbent upon us here to insist that these protocols are well structured. What is to be achieved by what date? And then we should insist also on an oversight mechanism on these issues. Out of the previous changes in municipalities and so forth, we became aware of good intentions that was not taken to the hilt, and therefore the call for oversight, strong oversight on this. And by oversight, Chair, we don't mean that ourselves as this section of Parliament, the NCOP, were just cited as an afterthought. By the way, when there are problems, we will call upon the NCOP. There should be live and ongoing oversight. Not necessarily going there all the time, but receiving reports as to the implementation of the protocols and other arrangements. We learned also from the previous experiences that unfortunately in some instances bureaucracy engage in some other debates that are not taking matters forward, and therefore it will need the support and guidance of the oversight structure. We went also, Honorable Msegi, to Mushawin at a crucial stage when that part of the country, of those municipalities, was being transferred from Northwest to Northern Cape. Those experiences are well documented. Hence, the call for very strong, structured, and ongoing oversight. As this transitional committee consists of officials, and we dare say some, not in individuals, but a bureaucrat, they need the guidance of an oversight structure. Thanks, Chair.
Well said. Thanks, Honorable Coach Mukaliti. I think the department will have to respond to this to assure us, as was rightly raised by my co-chair here, that we are called when there's a crisis, but we're taken on board when things will be done. And this, I agree with him fully. It's totally unfair. As I said, even though you are the whispering Honorable Ntuli, as fire extinguishes. When things are rosy, you know, they forget about you. But when things are tough, it's all the NCOP, come in, assist. for rights. Having done that, I think we can now move from Gauteng. Maybe before that, who composes the this committee? The transitional committee? Which department, who are these people in this committee? Have they started working or they are still on the stage of we are teaching or are they busy now? Who are those? Can I have those people before we move to other provinces? Concern. Yes,
The minister is going to make formal announcement, and you don't want to preempt. You want to concern both things, but you have Mr. Treasurer, the Prime Minister, but the minister is still considering that. We fear to venture into giving the names and when it's going to change, and now find ourselves again. But definitely the committee will be made aware of the I do have the report, but I was surprised taking it back on. So, and I'm quite thinking as soon as I'm given a go ahead to keep, I'll be ready to keep it.
You are talking to Parliament now. The thing of being embargoed, whatever, I mean, there is a bill before Parliament now. Want to pass it knowing that the people they are going to get service from Mukwena, from Myron, from Grace, from Mahona. That's all I want to know. Who are these people? Because if we want to be noted as a committee, we'll say, okay, one part is good until we know if there are people who are going to work to assist those people there. Maybe we must do that. And stop discussion and say, no, we'll wait until the department comes back to us to say, if there was confidence in us to give us the names of it. Because these people are not going to steal our money from somewhere. These are the people who are going to work for this government. Why is this a secret? What's happening here, department? I'm disappointed. What's going on here? We want to know who is going to assist here. If it's not yet established, just say no, this traditional committee is not yet established. Maybe when we meet again tomorrow, you give us the name. Or when we meet for the final mandate next week, Tuesday, you give us the name. If it's not yet established, then say it. Because to me, it doesn't make sense if up until now, there's no committee in place. When we're incorporating the DSO Scorpions into SAPS, when the business department going all over the provinces trying to express to people, taking input from stakeholders, the transitional committee was there, taking all those things that were raised by people there. When we found out the bill, the committee had already put some things in place. A day before the day, the Scorpions was formally dead, that was part of the SAPS. Because it was now, it's now an air. The committee was there, you know. Let me wait until the embargo is going. If I don't, hey, this parliament, yes, sometimes very strange. Hey, some other things, yes. I thought that this department is pulling out of that cocoon it used to be in, but it seems as if some traditions will never stop in some departments. Anyway, the city embargoed colleagues will wait until but will decide at the end whether I want to proceed or not. Because I want to know as a chairperson here and my co-chair, want to know as well as this committee is busy making some, you know, because they must start working now. They can't wait until the bill is finalized. They must start now, you know.
With your permission.
Still in Bible as well.
So,
I can assure you.
Well, is it in Bagot or give me the names now? If it's in Bagot, please take them quite safe. Let's continue. Unless you're giving us names, then I can allow you. If I don't name, if that's a reserve your comment. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let's continue. Now, there were issues raised by, because KwaZulu-Natal supported, there were issues raised by Limpopo. At the end, the colleagues will decide whether to proceed with this bill or not, because kind of people who don't trust us, you know, who conceal some names as if, you know, it's the intelligence committee. Yes. Limpopo supports the bill department, but they are raising issues here. They are saying, as was said by Honorable Museki, that we are one country, a unitary state. This thing of people claiming to belong to this or that province, to them it's really a cause for concern. Now, they're saying, if as government we are going to be reactionary, that when people cause some violence, disruptions, and whatever, then we listen. They're saying, is this not indirectly creating some precedent that we might not be able to deal with in the future? And if the rumor that we're having that the department of local government, you are thinking of conducting a referendum, if that is true, is that the way to go from now onward as this government? That when people raise some concerns, the only route, the way out is a referendum. You know, whatever we're doing now, we're going to say the will of the people must prevail. In the form of a referendum. Is that what you are saying in the department? That's the view raised by Limpopo here. Before they respond, colleagues say, do you want to raise anything for this question? Honorable
Minister. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, that is the fundamental question that really needs to be taken into account. Kutum has embarked on the same thing. They have ruined their places to nothing. Now that Snosa did not hear anything being mentioned, they started the same. As of now, Guga Albato, you cannot go there. Now, what is going to happen? We have to now rush up and then do that to appease them. It is a precedent that has been set already. Thanks, the Matatier, to be heard over the media, they have made a statement. They said to the minister was there, addressing the people, but they have learned that the minister says there should be a referendum. They don't know where does that come from now, because they have agreed that what is going to happen, this was a package. Now, the very same issue was raised by one of the public addressers who addressed on the that country. He said, why are we now dealing now with Mirafong City? And nothing has been now mentioned about Mufe, about Matatien, because this was a package. Why are we now silent? Why are we now writing for this one? Because it was not for us now to respond and say it's because of ABCD. We were there to listen. We had to listen to the guy, and nothing we could actually respond to the question. This is now some of the things that are hanging, and I think what raised by the Limpopo, it is something that we will have to think thoroughly and come out with a solution. Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. Not that I'm responding, but that from Jaffa, I think. And also, I'm not taking away the wind from your say, but just to highlight that in the background report supporting the mandate from Mpumalanga, those are the questions that they are also putting forward, concerned that why are we being seen to be addressing these issues on a piecemeal fashion, as they put it.
Yes, can the department respond to the concerns raised by Limpopo? We'll come to Mpumalanga. Myron, Lapis.
I have to carry the cross on my shoulders. So if you crucify me, I know I might. There's one way to get to the Lord is to allow yourself to carry the cross. I think the political advisor to the minister had outlined our position with regard to the other areas, and that this is by and large not. This issue of Mutse and Matatiu has not been settled decisively politically among the executive at this moment. What is going on is a series of consultations and talks with the concerned parties at the moment. And thereupon, the minister, having been briefed by the political advisors in his ministry, and having consulted with his principals and counterparts, that is, other members of the executive, will then give the departmental official directions as to how to proceed on the matter. But clearly, as expressed by the political advisor to the minister at the hearings in the portfolio committee, the two situations of Mutse and Matatiu are complicated. They're not very simple, and have to be dealt with through through a series of consultative measures with those communities. Thank you, Chair.
No. People of Mutse, of Matatiu, they are disputing what you are saying, to say they are divided. I had to get some means of seeing of the two groups, which one has got more say in it. They're saying we are as united as ever, wanting to go to that particular direction. As the Honourable said, that they even issued a statement yesterday to say, as for Matatiu, unless there are a few individuals who are saying some other things, but as people of this earth, we are as united as ever. Maybe let me not push you further, but to say, can you respond to the rumor that the department wants to embark on a referendum, because it was said in many platforms by the department? Can you confirm that publicly to Parliament?
Chair, on behalf of the department, I'd like to say that while the issue of a referendum has been mentioned publicly, currently at the moment there's no final political decision on the matter. It is an option that is being explored by the ministry concerning these two areas. Thank you, Chair.
Any response from the department? Ramu, thank you. Your hand was up. Going to come in.
No, it only has to do with the first area, and I know that Myron, there is an area called the Bahamuti. If you talk about these other areas, don't include it. Ganara area in the north, that is demanding to go to the north.
I think you have an another member that say, I think it is, this is a very difficult decision. In a way, people think where they are sitting, that when they say they want to go to Limpopo, they began to think that way. The only means for them to be here, to embark in a very destructive way. In a way, you actually begin. You remember, Chairperson, about the marathon issue. There was a statement that even criminal activities that were committed will be reconsidered. I couldn't understand what it meant. But crime is crime. That's the bottom line. And I don't think, Jefferson, if we really want to build a very stable democracy, stable country, we need to face that. We'll create a problem. And possibly the long-term solution to this challenge, Chairperson, is what was suggested by Limpopo and Mpumala. Review of the provinces, consolidate. In the interest of the development of the country, Chairperson, I think that is the only way. But some of these boundaries, they are badly drawn. They are creating a lot of problems for us. So, review of the provincial boundaries and consolidate. That process has already begun. I think it must be taken forward. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Chairperson. I would like to support what Mr. Eki was saying. And I remember when we were debating this, particularly the IP and the DA, they were saying we must go for a referendum. I mean, that was 2005. And we were thinking, what if we continue with the referendum, where we'll find the minorities will not be able to have a say. Once we see the argument, then we say referendum. Whether the small parties will be able to survive if we continue with the referendums, because that was the argument we were putting. If they were saying, let's go for referendum, that are you aware of the consequences of the referendum? Because whatever it comes in, it's a referendum. I wonder whether the small parties will be able to survive. Thanks.
I would also propose, if that would be the route to take, that when we deal with land distribution, we go to referendum. If this land belongs to us, I want it, let's put it to the vote, referendum. I'm telling you, yes, sir. Anyway, that's the route the department is proposing. It's in black and white. Yeah. Now, those are the concerns raised by both provinces. Even though we're not there yet at Mpumalanga, but we're done with the Limpopo concerns. So we're now going to look at the concerns raised by Mpumalanga. Okay. Yeah, before we go to Mpumalanga, Honorable Koche.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry for delaying you. Perhaps we should unpack what Limpopo is saying in 3.4. I've got my particular understanding of what they are saying here. And can we link that to what the Honorable Sages just said about a relook at the boundaries of provinces? Can we unpack that one on Limpopo? Are we having the same understanding? Perhaps our honorable delegate from the Bombo will take us on board this one.
Thanks, my coach. Good on the spot. Now, I think
Is that what Ramsek is saying? Is that what Ramsek is saying, that this thing of provinces, if they embark on us looking at what can work better in our country, is to continue having these many provinces, or is to try and reconfigure them into what used to have the four provinces before? Now, that's another debate, but it is a fact. We have to look into that to see how far can we go. That is the great discussion. I remember there was a first thing in the department looking into this. I don't know where the report now. I'll go back tomorrow again. There was a first thing. That first time I know, that one was not embargoed. It was known that there was a first thing working to see the possibility of reducing provinces. There was that thing that was working. I know Mara is aware of it. So they made some reports, but it was not finalized, but they were flared or packed somewhere. Maybe you can, in confidence, you know, talk to us about it.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, that you're referring to the white paper process, the review of local government and the white paper on province. It ran for the whole of last year with public consultation and so forth. And the department, the section dealing with this, is in the process of compiling a sort of observation report of stakeholders. That report is lots of stakeholders who made submissions, so they have summarized all those stakeholder submissions into a draft report. That report was supposed to have been published, but hasn't been published as yet. And what I know from a general point of view, there's also a consideration that no hard and fast decision should be taken at this stage, given that it's an election year, and one should really wait for the new cabinet to come in to be appointed, so that the new cabinet and the new ministers and so forth can carry forward the processes of the white paper and the suggestions that would finally evolve from the white paper processes. So consideration is for carrying this over to the next financial year when the new cabinet is being established, so that they are afforded an opportunity to deliberate. Continue the deliberations thoroughly on this matter.
Thank you very much, to our parliamentary legal advisor and the office of the federal advisor. If you feel unshipped at any time, just feel free to indicate and come in. We'll be happy to get your input any time. Before I point you to speak, capable of doing this. In passing, we dealt with Mpumalanga, but I want to formally now look into Mpumalanga's concerns. The racist concerns, to say, why are we doing this in this meal? At the same time, when you go to page 3, under that bullet up there, it says that in Mutwe, for example, in Mutwe, there was peace and quiet in Mutwe. And before the incorporation of Mutwe into Limpopo, nobody demanded to be incorporated into Limpopo. But it happened against their way. Now, they are raising this concern to say, but why? Now, as it was said in the previous discussion, they also referred to what's happening now currently in Kuto. The demand is the same. This you find in the memorandum that is attached to this negotiating mandate. I wonder if
my coach want to talk to this one and so that there were other departments to address us on this issue that was raised by Kumala former. My coach.
Thank you, Coach. Basically, I think you captured the gist of the input from Mpumalanga. Chairperson, I wish also to highlight this where the discussion that took place during the briefing. As they are captured here, they seem to be unanswered questions to some extent. But as I'm saying, we did provide some answers where we did have these answers. Specifically to the issue that is being raised again, that we seem to be considering these three areas on a piecemeal basis. We spent some time explaining that these issues are about the same issue of reincorporation or reversing thereof. But the facts on the ground are not the same, hence the different approach to each case. It's about that, Chairperson. But then the other issue they are raising is the precedent that seems to be being set that in order to be here, you must be unruly, you must destroy property, and do all kinds of things before your matter is attended to agency. Thanks, sir.
Yeah, I request our contact advisor, our researcher, tomorrow to bring all these concerns raised by various provinces and the proposal on how to come out of it and the concerns raised so that when we discuss this tomorrow. We tease out those issues that they need further deliberation so that in our report as a committee we'll be able to give directives to the department that in the next government, those will be coming in to see if they can avoid this kind of arrangement that we're having now and cause some concerns to problems. Yeah, can you call you address the issues raised by Mpumalanga department?
Chair, the issues raised by Mpumalanga are very much the same. Same concern of piecemeal treatment, the reference to a referendum, to which I responded earlier on in terms of the previous question. As the co-chair said, that the conditions in each area may not be exactly the same as that of the Kusong Merafong area, and therefore the minister wants to consider all his options before he makes a final decision on these matters, and one of those options would include a possible course of action, i.e. a referendum. But I'd like to say it would be one of those options that he would consider to try and address the problem. There may be other options. And the matter, I understand the concern of the committee of the ongoing negotiations and consultations. But Chair, let's say that maybe for the time being it's necessary that there is a process of thorough consultation, negotiations, and going back to those communities by the ministry, so that we don't end up in a situation where, if the final decisions are being made to resolve these matters, they're once again contested, and so forth. While the impression has been created that is a piecemeal approach, I think the minister is trying to apply his mind and that he should be given a chance so that the mistakes of the past are not repeated. We might be faced with similar problems of service delivery and so forth, like we face throughout the country. A number of
provinces, but at least the minister is assured in his mind that he will minimize some of the problems that have arisen from the 2005 disestablishment of the cross boundaries. Thank you.
Now, anyway, those are the same comments. I think we'll come back to them and see if we can make specific recommendations. So that we make specific recommendations about this issue that we raised. Do you have any comment about them, right? Okay, let's continue. On that note, I think let's continue. We are done with Mpumalanga. Myra?
I'd like to say that a lot of the while these are submissions to the portfolio committee from the provincial legislatures and suggestions and concerns, I think there is also the executive room open between the premiers and the president and the ministers who meet in the PCC to raise this matter at the Presidential Coordinating Committee or any other forum that they can, even on a one-to-one basis with the minister directly. I think there is space for that, aside from these being submitted to the committee.
Oh, Myron, the matter is still in Parliament now. Long past the executive stage, it's now with us. That's for us now to champion it and give direction. Separation of power, please. Separation of power. This is now our property. It belongs to us now, no more from the, in the executive. Those structures are not the properly coordinated, are informal structures. You are now in the real constitutional structure now. Those min-make, whatever, those are just arrangements by the executive and not the constitutional structure. Can you now look at the Northern Cape concern? Now, the Northern Cape, on their mandate, page 1, paragraph 3, committee input on the bill. Just to refresh our memory, the bill must also address the inclusion of Dantemzo into the Pokwane municipality in the Northern Cape. Since there is no outcome on various requests to several stakeholders in this regard, the town is divided between the Northwest and the Northern Cape. Sorry. Please see a correspondent or another. Northwest are in trouble. That was the question we asked the last meeting to say, is the legislation going to be affected by this chopping and removing of some constituencies from Norfolk? I'm scared. By the way, the department is going to give us an answer today. At some point, they will give them a chance, the department, to address our colleagues. You remember that they owe us some answers. And they will address us nicely to give us as it also to happen in terms of legislation. If we pass this bill and removing these people from Northwest, what's going to happen to the legislation? Colleagues smile, be happy because today we'll get an answer from the department. I know the answer is not embargoed. It's free. It will be given to us without any fear or favor. Yeah. We are so happy to have this official sitting in our meeting. We are happy. So people are going to give us answers to this. Wonderful. How nice. Yes, that's the concern from Northern Cape. Colleagues, do you want to raise anything for the department in response to this issue? No, exactly. Can we... Can you respond? Thank you very much. Some responses?
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for responses about the concerns raised by Northern Gate.
Chair, yes, this is a valid concern raised by Northern Cape, and there are quite a number of areas that also have the same problems. The Ramaphosa area as well, some of the areas that are right on the border of Gauteng and Limpopo, some of the villages. And I think instead of, again, I think the department needs to actually decide on approach to deal with all of these matters at one go in, you know, during the financial year, the coming financial year, so that, you know, that, again, you know, we have a set of answers to all of these problems. We certainly wouldn't want a situation where we come to Parliament on each one of them, and with a constitutional amendment if it involves boundary changes all the time. We certainly wouldn't want to have that kind of situation happen all the time, because it would mean repeated constitutional amendments, and that's not healthy, I suppose. So we need to actually, as a department, look at all these cases and decide how we're going to deal with them in a structured and organized way, so that we are coherent and logical and not dealing with them repeatedly in the system. Thank
you. So I think, is it doable, or I think not now? Why not now?
First, there has to be. This matter has to be taken to the political principles for the political principles to give a final decision, and then there are quite a number of other processes involved, which involved publishing of maps, publishing of notices, for instance, consultation by the MDB on the ground, and so forth, and that takes quite a lot of time to conclude. So there is also those processes, and it may not be manageable at this particular point in time, but maybe in the near future.
Okay, right. I think we are done with all the honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, though we don't want to put the department on the spot, and I know that Omulapis doesn't actually come in, because we're not talking about the constitution, and we would like to hear from him as well. Jefferson, I think this issue of other places that are still there to come, which will have an impact on the constitution as well. And you will recall that there has been a statement been made that South Africa, it is a newly formed democratic country that has a constitution that probably, if you looked at it, it is a good constitution. But it has now been amended. We are now at the stage of now with the 16th amendment, when the developed countries haven't actually reached there. Now, if all these other places that are still there to come, definitely the constitution will be amended. And if we are now not taking them all in one basket, you're going to have a problem. Because each time, if now Musa comes in, and there must be now a demarcation, geographical demarcation should come into place, the constitution will have to be amended. If Matatiele comes, the same thing, it will be amended. And all other places that have now been mentioned. Now, what is it that probably we are aiming at? Are we to go on, just do them as they come, as randomly as they come? That would be now the thing that now really creates a concern. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I was not properly answered. I thought the question was, as we have said, once this bill has been passed, the Merafong people will be deemed as a housing resident. question was about the legislation, whether it is going to affect the numbers of the politicians who are supposed to come to national parliament and who are supposed to go to provincial parliament. That was the question. How is it going to affect the numbers of the legislators and the legislators? Yeah. Provincially and nationally. That's
yeah, I know they deliberately didn't answer it. They want to end with it, you know, because that's it, you know, that would be a shadow on top, you know, because that's where they want to make us smile. Yeah. Yes.
I just like to refer the committee to Schedule 3 of the Electoral Act, which deals with the number of seats for both the National Assembly and the provincial legislature. And as far as the provision says, the determination of the seats contemplated in items 1 and 2 must be completed by the Commission, that's the IEC, by no later than the 31st of March 1999. The Commission had a one-off opportunity to determine the number of seats for both the National Assembly as well as the provincial legislature. The number of seats for the Northwest was determined at 33, and that stands. It cannot be changed. Determined in 1999 in terms of the Act, there's a one-off exercise, and that stands. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Follow-up, Chair. I did ask, you know, when you go to these elections, we go for the list. There is a provincial, from provincial to national, which is determined by the number of voters. There is a national to national. As we are here, we've got two lists. There is, in fact, there are three. There is province to province, which we have answered. Now I'm asking about the province to national, which is determined by the number of voters in that particular province. Now I'm asking how many the numbers are not going to affect the representatives from the province to national parliament.
So the members, that is determined by the number of registered voters on the date the election was proclaimed. Unfortunately, I was not in a position to answer that. That was done by the IEC. They do those calculations. No, I'm not privy to that information at this stage, unfortunately.
Oh, in our last meeting, we requested that in our next meeting, we need that answer. I remember I put that list, you know, going to consult the IEC and everybody, we need an answer today. And the answer we're going to get today before we adjourn. So that's what we requested, you know, so that when we go and do whatever dirty work out there, we know what to say. No, thanks, Honorable Ntuli, for raising it again. They'll answer it, they'll give us some figures. So. It's going to affect the number. That one is obvious. You don't have to go to school to know that it's going to affect the system. It's definitely going to affect the fifth day. Yeah. Now, can you get an answer now about the request you made in our last meeting after you contacted the IEC? And then, as requested by this good and very understanding co-chair here, that in the next meeting give us the answer. Can we have it, please? How is it going to affect the numbers in that province? Who's going to start first? I thought it first, Myron. Who is taking it first? Or that is to rescue them? If you manage, because the formal request was that the please go and consult the IEC, want to know exactly how it is going to affect the seats in Northwest. Because we have taken the big chunk of members of voters from Northwest to Gauteng. Yes, there was a chairperson.
Chairperson, Fanigo is going to contact the IEC at the moment to try and determine those figures. But I did make an approach to the IEC, especially on whether the seats in the legislature will change. And the reply from the IEC that I got through email, which I sent through to your secretary, it was on the Friday after your meeting, saying that the seats won't change in the legislature. But Honourable Member Ntuli now is raising another issue which we have to clarify about the representation from the provincial to the national. My understanding was, the question that you asked at the last meeting is whether the seats in the provincial legislature will change. And that information I got and sent to your secretary. But it came on Friday, or on Monday, I think it is, Friday or Monday, that we managed to settle that information. Thank you, Chair. But finally, we'll phone them on the other matter raised by Honourable Ntuli.
Yeah, no, we'll get them an answer. As I said, members, we'll get them an answer. Now, I think we are done with this part of checking mandates. We'll just, like, I want to let you come in on any of the issues raised so far. Because I want to hand over to my colleague to deal the other bill, the cross boundary bill. Anything, Lapis?
No, I don't have anything to add because, as a matter of fact, my department was not involved in all these previous consultation processes. We are only facilitating this amendment. So I have nothing to add to what has really been said yet. Thanks.
In terms of the consumer requirements, Vanara and the Office of the State Law Advice, if we take the route of the proposal by Northern Cape, what are the challenges there? Consumer challenges that can be done. From the Office of the State Law Advice, if we embark on that route of accommodating Northern Cape, the other request, will your office be able to do the miracle that that it be doable and feasible? Start first, Vanara, and then Otsinsu will come later and we hope we'll get up to address the committee. Wow.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. So I think the Department of Provincial and Local Government, that's actually a member, Advocate Lau Shahne, will agree that there has to be an extensive process that needs to be embarked upon when it comes to these demarcation processes. I don't think at this stage it is feasible to address this particular concern. I'm sure there are a lot of statutory requirements that must be complied with because this is a substantive amendment that really would require compliance with some legislative provisions, which at this stage have not been attended to. So I think it might serve the committee well in its report and in sending over a report to the incoming committee to perhaps bring this matter to the attention so that this committee, the next committee, can follow this matter up with the relevant department. But from where I stand, there's going to be a mission impossible to accommodate Northwest. I think listening to their tone as well, sadly, I don't think they foresee it being done here today or the next couple of weeks. It's an issue that they would like to see it being attended to. And with those few words, I thank you.
Okay.
We're all here.
Mr. President, I don't want to dilute what you have said here. Mine is basically the same thing. There's nothing that this committee can do at this stage. The suggestion that was proposed by the Northern Cape, it's not something that you can look at now. And as Vanara has indicated, you can rather mention in your report as something that can be followed up at a later stage by the department. It's something that the department has taken into consideration. It's basically the same thing as Maute and there's all that it seems like you follow up.
Yes, Chief.
Chief, I've just spoken to a representative of the IEC, Mr. Michael Hendrickson, who did the briefing at the Portfolio Committee. He informed me that a government notice was published on the 24th of February dealing with the representation of regional citizens or from provincial to national. Mr. Hendrickson informed me and assured me that for purposes of the determination of the number of seats for Northwest, Merafung was part of Northwest on that date, regarded as part of Northwest. But due to the general movement of the voters within the whole of the Republic, the following are the allocations of seats for the various provinces. Eastern Cape is 26, Free State is 12, Gauteng is 47, KZN is 36, Limpopo 19, Mpumalanga 15, Northern Cape 5, Northwest 14, Western Cape 23. Also informed that the Eastern Cape lost one seat from the previous election, KZN gained one seat, Northern Cape gained one seat, Western Cape gained one seat, Northwest lost three seats. But that's general movement of the voting public.
Terrible. Yeah. That's the answer we're looking for. It said that the. You remember last time, I don't know who tried to respond to this question. He said, no, there's only few people who move there. You know, if you do three seats. Three. Oh my goodness. It means more than 2 million people there. That's what Mosaic was saying in our last meeting. So Mosaic was correct. Anyway. Yeah, no, let's go back to four provinces. We can't accept it. No. Let's go back to four provinces. Colleagues, I'm happy to announce that the Western Cape got their mandate. They're busy making copies. Their mandate will be before the committee, before we are there. I told you that the Western Cape has never disappointed us, and they've delivered their promise. Let me refer that. I wonder if we can have that in writing. That's what you told us about the who gave what, who lost what. If we can have that in writing, so that we have it. For information sake, for us, I think I accept the advice from the parliamentary advisor and the state advisor. I think for now, if we try to effect those changes in terms of further areas to be removed outside the bill that is before us, we might really sit here until the 22nd, when people will be electing, we'll be sitting here trying to deal with this. And that will be really important. Now, colleagues, I think we can, before we move on, I'm not going to.
Chair, just although it's not political, but just the numbers, I just wanted to check whether the numbers we have given us is amounting to 200. concept with my understanding is that the provinces are allocated 200 seats, and then national to national another 200. That's why I've got 400 members of parliament in Cape Town. So I wanted to check whether the numbers he has given us, they trade to 200 seats. Just a quick
Yeah, because this reshuffling was ever all provinces, but probably 200 members,
yeah.
Province, national, all of them combined.
Yeah.
All those numbers, they must. Yeah. So the other 200 is the national one. So the province national as well must contribute 200 from each province. Yes, they'll look at yes.
So it's a quick check of this check, it looks like it's 197. I'll get his phone again and just see if I can find out where the consistency is. That's all right. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fine. You can verify that. So, now, we're still waiting for the mandate from No, when it comes, we'll consider it, colleague. But, colleague, you allow me, we'll continue deliberating on this bill. But we're done with the mandate now, satisfactorily. I want to hand over to my co-chair that they will deal with the cross-boundary bill. As I said, the twin bills, but the losses in the cross boundary differ from the food losses we have in the Constitution System Amendment Bill. Now, again, if members are not going to be given lunch, we are canceling all meetings until when we go for elections. I'm going to meet. This bill won't serve in the NCOP on the 19th, if the power that be was to serve my members. I can't call you to come from wherever to come here and serve. That one must be clear, Grace, tell whoever that's there. It's not a threat, and I'm going to attend this meeting forever until they come back to us. And if they don't do that, unfortunately, the meeting, all the meetings will be cancelled until then. Unless the department offers to provide lunch for the committee until we finish with our work. But other than that, Grace, what are they saying? Because I want to make sure that these meetings, when I attend today, will attend forever. Because I met the chairperson of the council, it's on record, in the office of the chairperson, was myself, Chairperson Masham, Mrs. Kerswa. Where I raised this issue, saying, we're told that committees cannot have lunch because we're assured in that meeting that no, it was a misunderstanding. Committees that have got legislation, they will continue getting the necessary service as normal. So that was given to me, not by a second or a third party, coming from Ms. Kerswa and Mr. Masami. This was there as a witness. Yes, and the travel arrangement as well, because of this, some special arrangements for us coming. But anyway, let me leave that for now and head over to my co chair so that I can do the other bills. I'm told before I do this, Honorable Mac, can you address us on the Western Cape mandate, please?
Thank you, Jane. With a humble request and very diplomatic, I have requested my leaders in the provincial legislature to submit this urgently. I'm thankful for them, Jane. The negotiating mandate of the Western Cape Provincial Parliament on the Constitution 16 Amendment Bill, as resolved by the Standing Committee Governance on 3rd March. The Western Cape Provincial Parliament, having considered the subject of the Constitution 16 Amendment Bill, referred to the Provincial Parliament in terms of the rules the National Council of Provinces, best to report that it confers on the Western Cape delegation in the NCOP the authority to support the bill without amendments. They have also submitted the committee report, Chair. I am very thankful to my leaders in the legislature, Chair. I must
comment on that. Watch it now. Be careful. Be careful now. We're happy the mandate from Western Cape is here. Now we've got all mandates from the 9 provinces. Thank you very much. Can I now come and head over to my... Oh, yes, the response is ready. Thank you very much.
When I reported that KZN was allocated 36 seats, it's actually 39, which we balance it out to 200 seats.
So they gained or lost a seat? They gained a seat.
In gained 2. No, sorry, they gained 1. Sorry, sir, they gained 1 seat.
From where? Where did they get a seat from? Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for your question. Right at the start of the meeting, we highlighted that we needed to reflect on this other bill, the cross-boundary municipalities laws repeal and related matters amendment B. Chair, we raised a particular issue because we noted, even long before we saw the mandate, some of the provinces were, especially my province, was asking which committee in the legislature would you want to brief? Because in the legislature, they don't have a portfolio committee or a standing committee that deals specifically with constitutional matters. This does not fall within the competency of the province. And therefore, you will note in the mandate in front of us from Mpumalanga, the local government committee received this briefing. Co-chair and members, we note also from the content of this mandate, if my reading is correct, only 2 provinces express themselves on this particular bill, the cross-boundary municipalities laws repeal and related matters amendment bill. All the other provinces sent us their mandate are silent about this bill. Yet we did highlight that this bill is a package. Is the reason because these cross-boundary municipalities bill is a Section 75, and by that we mean it's just a norm-setting bill, and therefore provinces did not deem it necessary to express themselves on it. Yet, on the other side, as we highlighted, that these 2 bills are a package. The other one, the 16th Amendment, is just starting the ball rolling. this one is municipality of Lipin. It is now carrying the process forward, how these matters will be dealt with and what will be happening. So, Chair, we need, I think, really to reflect on the correct procedure to proceed with this matter. And my concern is that we might be found lacking in our negotiations and mandates if our mandates are only reflecting on only one set of the package and silent on the other. But then, this is the issue. As I said earlier on, Chair, this is a matter that received some kind of discussion in the provinces, and the provinces, some that they could even just drop a line in their report that they've just noted the cross-boundary municipality laws and peace. You can just say, we noted that, but continue to express their views about mandates on the other piece. And on several occasions, the constitution was open, then read, and so forth. To some extent, the province said there is no harm if they do not express themselves on the second bill, besides the 16th constitutional amendment. Chair, I think we then have to reflect on that. We are privileged to have legal advisors in our midst who will take us forward in this matter. Is there anyone who wants to proceed to kick off? Perhaps you want to come and go.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for raising this concern. Yeah, maybe what you need to do, I don't know, Bongi and Wanara, you'll come in there. And those who are concerned. What you can do is in future, how can you address this kind of arrangement? Because while it was checked, Section 75, under normal circumstances, some of us are from as late as could assume this it directly affects provinces. Why was it checked at 75 to start with? That's where one point can start. You know, because there's no way in which you can take it 75 while it affects provinces directly. And it even because the purpose of this bill, cross boundary, is just to change the map, to rearrange those areas inside there to say these areas initially they belong there, now they, because there's a new map now, the original map that was reflecting northwest will now change and reflect areas that will fall under housing. So maybe provinces deliberately didn't touch it, knowing that, by the way, it does not need them. They must not even comment about the Section 75. They can only comment about the Section 760. Maybe for future, we have to look into that, maybe. Will be advised by the legal guru, as I said, that how can we deal with this kind of a thing if, in our opinion, we feel it directly affects provinces. So the taking committee, they have to review some of these things. But there might be a reason why it was taxed in 1775. Because even the previous legislations, they were all checked 75, even though they talk about provinces, provincial setup. That was my take on this one. They provinces deliberately didn't talk about it because they know that it's not their competence, 75, it's national competence only. So, but I want to just plead that. Let's look into this thing in future. How can we, of course I know it's not but the department suggested that Bongi and them are the ones who said It must be 1075. Yeah. Ubonge and Bobarara are the ones who insert the. This thing must be 1075. Yeah, so tell us today, why are they doing that? Because it affects our service. That was my take on this one. But obviously, I think that they did it for at least, but they know that they don't need just to send a mandate when a bill is 1075. They're not needed to give in any mandate. Except if the 1074 and 1076 only. That was my take on this one. Now, this is, yeah, as we rightly said, this is the illegal gurus for our sister. Thanks, Chair.
I thought Mr. Lowe was very eager to talk to us.
Chairperson, I just like to refer the committee again to paragraph 7 attached to the memorandum on the objects of the bill, which is at the back of the bill, which contains an explanation that says it's been tagged 75, you're correct, and that it does not deal with a matter listed in Schedule 4 of the Constitution, local government matter. And it does not provide for legislation registered in Section 76(3) of the Constitution. When it's Schedule 4, 76(3), then it has to be referred to the provinces for approval. So it's not one of those issues, and that's the reason why it's Section 75. So it doesn't have to be formally approved by provinces. There's a tagging committee within Parliament who has to confirm that. There is a committee within Parliament that is referred to, the tagging committee. We have to make official decision on that.
Is JTM and those cabals over there, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Those are 1, 2, 3 and the JTM. Yeah, that's the one. Ubanara and I join the cabal now. Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. I think having clarified that, I think we can now. Yeah, I think we're done. Go to the bill. I close this for them. Yeah, colleagues. Here we are. Let's leave our bill before us, the close down the bill. You remember that when we got the briefing last time, the department took us through the bill from clause 1 to clause 10. You remember that there were questions under clause 9 when we said this clause 9 was put in there to try and avoid amending the Electoral Act. You remember for this. During that meeting, that's what we did. And we said that if we want to be naughty, we'll amend this clause so that they will go and amend the Electoral Act. So if we get time, okay, we can do that. But being this understanding committee, I don't think we'll make a day, Mr. Lowe and Myra. But that'll be nice to us, like what they've been doing now, because they've been giving us answers. Up until now, we have stopped and asked, we are fine. Umukwena needed a foot pedal this morning. But no, we are fine now. We are now speaking tense. Because he has given us something now, you know, to make up for the other thing. Now, maybe the department, is there anything you want to talk to us about before we go to these clauses now, before we go to clause 1. Is there anything you want to talk to us about? Nothing. Right. Colleagues, can we go to these clauses and see if they want to discuss anything with these clauses? Because as my co-chair rightly said, this bill, it's complementing what we discussed earlier on in terms of the Constitution 16 Amendment Bill. Now, this one is just a saying, in terms of that notice to change to reflect it, in terms of that map that contains this following area, it will change now as if it's a map belonging to Kauteng. That particular area, having so
being located in this area will change this, in all these clauses. But let's go through systematic and see if they discussion under clause 1. So the new intention there under clause 1, you can see line number 7 under clause 1. Any discussion clause 1? Ikakwe?
Yeah.
Good. I didn't say. I find a good one on the field. Exactly. Over. Clause 2. You must know that we didn't go through the motion first. The same person who put the motion is now still discussing the thing. Immediately after this formal part, and then the chairperson will put the motion on the availability. I know the motion is ready there. No. If the motion is not ready, I think the busy arranging that it be ready. So tomorrow, come tomorrow, who knows? We might, anything is possible. the motion of availability, I know it's there. They've done it. We have got two good secretaries to this joint committee. Moss and Greg.
Oh.
Directly, you demand a motion of the ability is here. You demand a report is here. As I'm speaking, look, the report is here. Where is the report? Okay, let's continue. Clause 2. Yes, clause 2, there is an intention under clause 19. Correct? There's that new intention there. Hey, Zambi for sure. And yes, close to 1A. You know, these things we discussed thoroughly when discussing with the other bill. So it will be just repeating in some of the things. As you can see, this was referring to that particular bill that we're discussing. No discussion. Can I put those three? I want to say you're too quiet for my liking.
You know too much.
No. Okay. Plus 3 is fine, as I said. Plus 4. Is clear. Clause 5, the advantage is that I will discuss thoroughly during the first briefing and even in the previous discussion. That's why it makes it quite easy when dealing with this bill. Clause 5, it shows those maps as the way before. Those maps, those are new maps, hey. That are now indicating areas that are under housing now, and no more not worse. Clause 6 on page 4, from line number 6 downwards. Those are the maps, colleagues, so I don't want to bore you. Members have got this map before them, isn't it? It was given to us by the department. But mine is black and white. I wonder why. I'm not just a nice picture of me. It's a low, Myron. Why am I given this kind of a map? The coaches are supposed to have those colored maps here. What's going on? Is there any sabotage here? What's this? Hey, moving. Well, no, it wasn't black at all. Okay. Look here. Clause 7. Why are we doing here? What are we doing here? Oh, under Schedule 6. What are we doing here, Mr. Lowe?
be providing for the disestablishment of the Meerfong municipality within the Northwest. It wasn't in the Act originally, no provision for that, so now we're providing for the actual disestablishment of Meerfong in the Northwest province.
All right. Are there questions? Honorable Musaiki? Thanks, madam. Clause 8. Clause water fraud. Clause 9. This clause deals water fraud and the Electoral Act. Yes, the water control that was under Northwest will now be a water control under House and Village. It will be deemed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, madam.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just as a matter of clarity on Clause 9, looking at that section and the second part of it that says, and for the purposes of Section 24 of the Electoral Act, as it was previously raised in the previous discussion, that this is just for the purpose, or is it saying, despite what we have there, this is going to be changed? So as a matter of clarity, Chair, I wanted to question maybe whether we do not need to consider a change of that for the purpose of Section 24, as it really, as the section reads, does not align with exactly what Section 24 says, but we are basically maybe proposing or contemplating that it says, despite what is there, that is what's going to be.
Thank you very much, sir, for that question. Question put, can we get some responses, Marlon, Mr. Law, and everybody?
Chairperson, I'm not sure why the comment was made. This clause was discussed in detail with the Section 5, concurred and agreed with it. But for purposes of explanation, I'd just like to say that it says fairly clearly, in my view, that in order to give effect to the Constitution 16th Amendment Act, that's the actual change of the boundary, and for purposes of Section 24 of the Electoral Act, Section 24 of the Electoral Act deals with the closure of the voter roll. It says that the Electoral Act says that on the date the election is proclaimed, the voter rolls are closed. In other words, where are you for the provincial section, where are you municipality situated, which province, for that, for purpose of the election, it will be in that province. So it says, and for purposes of Section 24, which says it was because of the voters of which province, the voting districts of Meerfong City, local municipality, are deemed to be part of the Gauteng, not part, Section 24 says it's part of the Northwest. Yeah. It's deemed to be part of the Gauteng provincial section of the voters role. There's one condition attached to it. If the 16th Amendment Bill comes into operation before the 2009 election, that's the one condition. This bill must come into operation before the election. And it's very clear in my view what it's done. No misunderstanding, misinterpretation can be placed on this. I don't know if my colleague, Mr. Labuschagne, would like to comment as well.
Yes, no, I fully agree with what Mr. Lowe said. In my mind, it's also obvious what the intention of that clause is. So I have nothing else to add.
Well,
nothing. I cannot explain it in more detail. Thanks.
Well, concern, you're saying the concern that is raised by the Office of the Federal Advisor is covered, as explained by the law.
Chairperson, I didn't quite follow what exactly is the proposal that the Office of State Law Advisor wants to make. But as Ms. Lowe said, this matter was clarified with them before it was introduced, also before it was approved by the portfolio committee. So unless they have in the meantime further considered the matter and decided that they have certain concerns as far as this is concerned, or this revision is concerned. So, and it's not a matter that I think was clarified with other departments, it's a matter that has been right now for the first time. I don't know whether if that this is the first time this morning that I heard about this new proposal from Senate, Office of the State Law Advisor. So maybe, with your permission, we should adjourn for a few minutes, we could go and discuss the matter outside and then come back and report to the committee. That's my the only proposal that I can do it. Make it a state. We must just keep in mind one thing, Jefferson, that if this committee agrees with the state advisor and deems it necessary to recommend an amendment, then this bill will have to go back to the National Assembly. The National Assembly will have to be called together again. I don't want it. I'm just pointing out the practical implications of if this committee decides that it wants to amend the specific law. But I think, Jefferson, with your permission, let's adjourn for 5 minutes maximum so we can quickly discuss the matter outside, and then we'll come back and report to you on hopefully that we have reached consensus on the matter.
Okay. Yeah, maybe to clarify this thing. No, we have this committee. We're not going to shy away from amending this if we didn't fit. If it was the NA or the Zucando. By all means, but that's why we are here as second house to say. If that office is not comfortable with some sources, it's their right to advise us to Parliament, because that's their duty. Because if they allow us to pass things, when is the fire? We're looking at the same. How it passed through the office while things are coming in shortcomings. And maybe that's a reason this fact there. I can think only one to address us on this. But if there is some concerns already, some of us are happy because we want to pass a clean and good day. And Trintombi and then Vanara will come in to address us on this particular law. But if they also buy your proposal for us to break for a few minutes, now, by all means, we'll be happy to do that. But let's hear them first, and then let's see how far we can go. So,
what my colleague was saying here is not a proposal that we're putting through the committee. It was just a clarity that we wanted to get from the department. Is it really, are they really meaning for the purposes of the security form, or is it despite? That's what they clarify on that. They clarify it and then we're able to. When you're proposing any comment, it's just something that you read. You know, in the draft of legislation, when you read something, you get new ideas as you go on. It's an every time you read a piece of legislation, even though you were there, draft out that legislation. So this thing came when you were perusing and reading the bill again in preparation for the committee. And then you just thought maybe we should clarify that to the department and you clarify it. And then they clarify it, then you're happy with that.
Thanks, Bongi. Thank you, Bongi.
Okay,
you
next.
Don't say Bongi. Vanat?
No, sir. In view of what has been said, I'm withdrawing what I was going to say. Because in any event, I was going to just encourage the view that Lawashakne was bringing forward for a brief consultation. Now that they've dropped the point, I don't think that's necessary.
Right. The question was raised under clause 10. This separate date for its date of operation. By the way, what was the response then? Mr. Law?
Jefferson, subsection of sub clause 2 refers to clause 9. That's to make it clear that clause 9 is deemed to come into operation on the day the election was proclaimed. That's to deal with the issue of the closing of the voter cell. On the date the voter cell closed, at the date of the proclamation, the segment, the metaphor segment, is deemed to be part of the project. That's just to cover that.
Thank you. can we talk to sub 1, 10, 1? Because you remember we said that, but usually what we're doing is that this bill will come and act on the day prescribed by the president. But Jason, you're on a different side. You explained earlier on, but some of us as law learners, I think we need to turn what again, because I don't understand why this new style now, Bongi and Banal.
First of all, subsection 1, as I understand, subclause 1 linked, coming into operation of this bill is linked to the 16th million bucks. They must come into operation on exactly the same day. So this bill cannot come into operation until the 16th amendment bill is come into operation. And then secondly, the wording linked to the 16th Amendment Bill. So it's dependent, coming into operation is dependent on the 16th Amendment Bill coming into operation. To link the two together. So you cannot put the one into operation. Of course, it cannot come into operation without, it can have no legal consequences. If the 16th Amendment Bill doesn't come into operation, that's the changing of the provincial boundary. This act will have no legal effect. It cannot deal with anything. So it must be dependent on the 16th Amendment Bill coming into operation. I don't know what Lopez would like to, or Mr. Scott would like to add.
Well, Peter, as I indicated at our previous meeting, and as Mr. Lowe now indicated, these two acts must remain on the same date. And for purposes of coordinating the commencement on the same date, this provision has been drafted as it is. Although it's not the way that the committee is, or that we normally draft it, this is not the first time that it has been drafted in this form, and as I said, it's merely for coordinating purposes.
And the bottom of all that, Ivana, tell some.
Chair, this is one of those rare instances when I would agree with the Department and legal advisors. And yes, I fully agree with the explanation that this bill gives effect to the Constitution 16th Amendment, and therefore it is necessary that it be linked in this format. Thank you, Chair.
From this side, there's another one to point. This is a rare occasion where our parliamentary advisor agrees with Lapid and I'm disappointed. But maybe there's a reason for that. Bonge now, banana. Right. I think we're done with this, all the topics. Are there general questions, colleagues? Because what we're proposing from this side, unless you have other ideas, unfortunately, the motion is not ready. The motion of durability for both is not ready. And because we have to go formal now and do some other stuff. As you are aware, the 16th Amendment Bill, we have to wait for the final mandate. But we have to claim the other logistics. It's either we come back this afternoon or we are adjourned for good until tomorrow. So that you go and prepare ourselves and do what you can do so that we meet again tomorrow. Or we then go for lunch, as Grace will announce lunch where it's going to be served. Then we'll come back again, soldier on, table and heaven. But we'll be advised by good sense from this side that we are flexible. And I will take.
I apologize,
Your
Honor, for lunch and come back. Now, it's important that we go to the township, and there's a lot of work to be done.
Okay, well.
On that note, let me hand over to my question to run the final lap and see if I'll be of the view that we meet tomorrow. There's another thing that we have to consult on, because this is a very sensitive bill that there's some other people that are seeing want to close them. So we are afraid that if we'll be told to come back and there's some other things, we might not have time. So I've already read what Mr. Mutek is saying. But if you feel otherwise, there's some other things we can't say here now. But let me come and hand over to my coach to run this thing. At the end, Grace and Morton will announce the venue for the lunch. And over to you, my coach.
Thanks, coach. I'm glad you highlighted this. What seems to be minor observations that we made here around the table. In fact, we would implore honorable members that we pause for just overnight so that we review this matter that we are sitting here. It's quite crucial that we do pass quality legislation. And if, along those lines that we then meet tomorrow instead of this afternoon. Without really being imposing on you, honorable members. Honorable Mbeki. Thanks for this consideration. Honorable Mbeki.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, probably to respond of your comment earlier on that your silence, honorable Mbeki, it concerns me. There are quite a lot of things that were going through my head. But I think in order that you flex those things and you chat them out, I think let's come back tomorrow. We are here. To pass the quality legislation, when we look back, we should not be part of the rush. Then let us probably then sit down. We'll come back tomorrow. The time is on our side. Let's come back. When we say yes, it should be a yes, not to regret. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I understand the secretariat is saying they've catered for us in the restaurant in Mark's building. Thanks so much for your input during this meeting. We meet then tomorrow at 10, I think, in the same venue. Adios.
Thank you.